الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you for sticking around afterwards. I will start firstly with a short reminder of again why it is so important to study Islam in a systematic method. And that is, the reminder this time is from a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he encourages the companions. The Prophet tells the companions and encourages them that you are traveling through the world, and whenever you go through the parts of the world, you end up in the gardens, and you are taking from the fruit of those gardens. Back in the day when they would travel, that's how you would, you know, instead of traveling through tough roads, you would try to find a place that has nice vegetation, nice greenery. It's a pleasant journey, and then you can get free fruit. So free food as well. The Prophet said, you are traveling through these gardens of the world, and you are taking from it and enjoying it. You should also travel through the gardens of paradise. And فَرْتَعُوا فِيهَا أَوْ مِنْهَا. You should take from them as well. So the Prophet's companions, they asked him, what are these gardens of paradise, O Messenger of Allah? And he said, they are the gatherings of the reminder. Right? Hilaq al-dhikr, meaning the places where people sit together and they discuss what the religion is teaching them. They get reminded of aspects of the religion that perhaps they have forgotten, or they learn something totally new. And those are characterized by the Prophet as gardens of paradise. As gardens of paradise. And it's a very beautiful analogy, because when the Prophet says, when he's encouraging us to learn the religion, the incentive that he provides is that whoever treads a path of knowledge, seeking to learn something of the religion, because of that, سَهَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا الْجَنَّةِ. Because of that effort, Allah is making a path towards paradise easy for them. So this journey of studying Islam is a journey that the destination is paradise. And on the journey, it's like you're sitting in a garden of paradise. So it's a beautiful, it's a beautiful way to spend time. It's a beautiful thing to do on a regular basis. So that is the hadith of the day to encourage us to continue to do this. We ask Allah for strength and to give us more resilience in seeking knowledge. Okay, that said, I almost forgot the book that we're using today. I have two. The two are there because I'm going to reference something from a book from the Hanbali Fiqh, which is called Ar-Rawd Al-Murbi'. It's a very good book. It's an advanced book in the Hanbali Madhab. I'm going to reference a few things from it, interesting points that I think will benefit all of us. So let's talk about Tayammum. This is called a chapter of Tayammum. In the book that we have with us, there are only three hadith about Tayammum. So we will talk about those three hadith, and then we will recap everything and summarize the whole topic, inshallah, in one place. Okay, so when you look at Tayammum, when we look at this chapter, let's look at the three ahadith in it, number one. So the first hadith says, عن إمران بن حسين رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى رجلا معتزلا لم يصلي في القوم. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saw a person who was not praying with the people. He wasn't praying with the people when they were praying in a congregation, right? So that was a strange sight, because you're not supposed to just stand in the corner and watch people pray. You're supposed to join in, even if you have prayed before. Even if you say you have prayed the prayer and you're in the masjid and the prayer in the masjid is happening, you're supposed to join in again and pray. The only exception is Asr prayer, because you can't pray anything after Asr. So this was something that was strange. The Prophet asked him, يَا فُلَانْ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تُصَلِّيَ فِي الْقَوْمِ. He said, hey so and so, what prevented you from praying with the people? فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَصَابَتْنِي جَنَابَةٌ وَلَا مَا. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I was in a state of janaba. Do you remember what janaba was from last time? What state of janaba? Impurity. But specifically, what causes it is, it was not the impurity like using the restroom. It was the major impurity, which is caused primarily by intercourse. That was the main reason. Or having a wet dream or something like that. So he says, I'm in that state. Perhaps he was just with his wife or something. And I can't find any water. Why is water important here? Because when you are in a state of janaba, what are you supposed to do to get out of it? You have to take a shower, right? You have to take a shower, which is called ghusl. Okay, so he can't do that, unfortunately, because there's no water. So the Prophet ﷺ said, فَقَالَ عَلَيْكَ بِالسَّعِيدِ فَإِنَّهُ يَكْفِيكَ رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِي. He says, then you should use the dirt, because that will be enough and sufficient for you. Okay, so from that we understand that if you are in a state where you have to take a shower, correct? You can use, and you don't have water, you can use the dirt or the dust to make tayammum and then you can pray, correct? So it should logically follow that if you are in a state where you only require to make wudu, correct? Because that's a lower state, you don't have to take a shower, you just wash your hands and face and your feet. If it's a lower state than that, then of course also it follows logically that you can make tayammum and pray if there is no water, right? So just the hadith covers both things, right? If you have two situations, one is, you know, smaller and the other one is bigger, if the solution addresses the bigger problem, it by default addresses the smaller problem, right? It follows logically. So the hadith covers both angles. And there's an ayah in the Quran as well about this as well that leaves us in absolutely no doubt of the matter. The ayah in the Quran is from surah number 5, surah Ma'idah, ayah number 6, which is called by the scholars of tafsir the ayah of wudu. A very interesting and very beautiful ayah. Okay. Now, hadith number 2 in this chapter is from Ammar ibn Yasir. He says that ba'athani rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi haja fa ajnabtu فَلَمْ أَجِدِ الْمَاءِ. He said, I was sent by the Messenger of Allah for some tasks, and as I was gone, I found myself to be in a state of janaba. Perhaps he had a wet dream at night, and I could not find any water to purify myself with, right? To take a shower and perform the ritual prayers. فَتَمَرَّغْتُ فِي الصَّعِيدِ كَمَا تَمَرَّغَ الْدَابَّةُ. So he said, I rolled around in the dirt just like an animal rolls around in the dirt. Have you seen like a dog perhaps, right? Like a dog rolls around, similar way. ثُمَّ أَتَيْتُ النَّبِيِّ. Then I came to the Messenger. So now is he going to be clean or dusty and disheveled? Very dusty and dirty, right? Not very pleasant. فَذَكَرْتُ لَهُ ذَلِكَ. So I told him this situation. فقال, so he said, إِنَّمَا كَانَ يَكْفِيكَ أَن تَقُولَ بِيَدَيْكَ هَكَذَا. He says, all that you needed to do was to do the following with your two hands. Okay? ثُمَّ ضَرَبَ بِيَدَيْهِ الْأَرْضَ ضَرْبَةً وَاحِدَةً. Then he took his two hands and he struck the earth once. Okay? ضَرْبَ وَاحِدَةً is one strike. Okay? ثُمَّ مَسَحَ الشِّمَالَ عَلَى الْيَمِينَ. And then he took the left hand and he rubbed it on his right hand. وَظَاهِرَ كَفَّيْهِ. And the top of his hands. And then وَوَجْهَهُ. And then his face. Okay? So this is it. That's the tayammum. Alright? مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. This is narrated by both Sahih Bukhari, by both Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. It's interesting and it's kind of hilarious. If you think about Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anhu not knowing what to do in that situation, he's like, hey, I guess I gotta take a shower with this dirt. So he literally bathes himself with the dirt. It tells you that the Sahaba were also, you know, on a path to learning, right? They were on a journey to knowledge as well. Ahmad ibn Yasir, was he a new Muslim or has he been a Muslim for a while? From the very early Muslims, by the way, right? Ahmad was probably in the 20s, right? You know, in the first 20 people to accept Islam, Ahmad and his family are included in that. I don't remember the exact order, but very early Muslims. So Ahmad has been a Muslim for a long time. So it's not that seniority does not necessarily mean that he knew everything, as evidence of this. And he doesn't shy away from telling the story, right? Because there is nothing to be embarrassed about. We can actually admire his commitment to the religion, which is admirable that he's rolling around in the dirt because he wants to take a bath. So radiallahu anhu, he did that, and the Messenger addressed the matter by saying all he needed to do was the tayammum, which is one strike on the earth, you know, rubbing your hands and then wiping your face. That's literally all that there is to tayammum. Now, this hadith actually has an interesting linguistic point. I'm thinking if I should mention it or not. But the verb the Messenger used for "you should do this with your hands" is, he says, "أن تقول بيديك," that you say literally with your hands. So what this alludes to is the word "saying" is in Arabic could be used for doing, and this has some interesting implications in Aqidah, but we won't talk about that. It has an interesting tangent, which is your actions speak louder than your words. You know that phrase? Literally in the Arabic, that's what the verb is for. That your actions are like your words. أن تقول بيديك, that you say this with your hands. You do it with your hands, but what you're doing speaks louder than your words. And this is a nice point that some of the scholars make about the choice of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's words, or what he chooses when he's describing things. The third and the last hadith in this chapter is from Jabir ibn Abdullah, who says that anna nabiyya sallallahu alaihi wasallam qala u'titu khamsan lam yu'tihinna ahadun min al-anbiya'i qabli, excuse me, I was given five things that nobody before me from the prophets was given. This is a special thing only for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What are those five special things? Number one, nusirtu bil ru'bi masirata shahr, I was given victory in advance by a month because people are afraid. People will get afraid of me or afraid of my army by a month span. So before a month, like I would be a month away traveling wise from a place and mentally they're already defeated. So this was something that was special that was given to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it manifested itself in many, many of the battles of the Prophet ﷺ. This is falsely and misleadingly translated by some of the Islamophobes as saying, I was given victory through terror. Because they translate the word ru'ab as terror. That is actually a very misleading and very false translation. That is a translation trying to, you know, convolute the reality with what it is, with what it was in the past. And even today, the word used for terrorism is actually irhab, not ru'ab, okay? So, but the idea is that this does not mean the Messenger ﷺ was out there terrifying people. That was not the case. Most of the people who accepted Islam at the hands of the Prophet ﷺ accepted Islam out of their own choice. That's a fact. Very few tribes had to be fought and defeated and then they accepted Islam. The majority of people in the year number 9 after the Prophet migrated came and happily accepted Islam. It's literally called the year of the Aam al-Wufud, the year when the delegations would come to the Messenger to accept Islam. So a few people from the tribe will come and say, all of us are accepting Islam, tell us what to do, O Messenger of Allah. But the next few people will come and say, all of our tribe is accepting Islam, tell us what to do, O Messenger of Allah. So obviously it doesn't mean that, but it's to show that the Messenger is special that if someone is to stand in his way as an enemy, that person stands no chance. Because a month before the messenger reaches him, that person is already defeated. That is a special aspect that was given only to the Messenger of Allah. Okay, so number one. Number two is جُعِلَتْ لِي الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا. The earth was made a masjid and a purifier for me. Okay? Pure and purifier for me. A masjid in the sense that you could pray anywhere. As long as it's not dirty. I mean, if you see someone has, you know, urinated on this, on that place, kindly do not pray there. Okay? Any place like a grave is an exception. I mean, you cannot pray on a grave. But other than that, clean earth, anywhere, it's a place where we can pray. And this is a beautiful thing about our religion. We're not bound, like the earth, there is a poetic beauty about this. Think about it. Anywhere on the earth, you can pray to the Lord of the earth. Right? There's something really beautiful about that, if you think about it. Tahuran, it's also a pure thing. So the earth will not dirty or will not make you impure. Okay? And number two, it is a thing that can be used to purify. And that's where the tayammum comes from. Okay? And also, it was used as an agent for purifying, such as in certain types of cleaning. For example, if you are cleaning after a dog has drunk from a pot, then the earth was used as a cleaning agent, as a disinfectant back in the day. Okay? And that was something also that came from this hadith, or from the hadith of that chapter, and also from this. That's two, right? Given victory, the earth is pure and a place of prayer. And so, and the messenger said, فَأَيُّمَا رَجْلٌ مِنْ أُمَّتِي أَدْرَكَتْهُ الصَّلَاةُ فَلْيُصَلِّ. Sorry. He said, for relating to the point number two, whoever has to pray for my ummah, for my nation, at any time, at any place, should just pray. No boundaries. You don't have to go to a place to pray. You can pray anywhere, at any time. It's an interesting thing. I sometimes am traveling, so I have to... I know I can't get to a masjid or a place, so I get off in the parking lot and I just, you know, pray in the parking lot. So sometimes I'm like, let me find a parking lot where there is no chance that anybody's ever prayed. Just so that that earth becomes like a place where, you know, maybe when the Day of Judgment they will testify. So I was actually driving on Eglinton, right? I was trying to get to a place and I was going to say I'll pray Asr when I get there. But mashallah, as you know, traffic in Toronto, it's always overrides everything. So I was like, subhanAllah, what do I do now? I'm going to miss Asr if I keep going in this traffic. I won't even get there by Isha time. So I pulled in and I'm like, okay, I just need to find a spot in this parking lot, it's all office buildings, to pray somewhere. And then I parked my car at the corner and I turn around, I'm like, oh, that's a pub. And I was like, that's alright, I'll pray right here, that spot. I don't think anybody's ever prayed in this spot before. And it was a weekday, it was Asr prayer, the pub wasn't even open, so it was a good situation for me. I didn't want it to become, you know, the owner comes out and starts saying things to me. Anyway, so the point is, you can pray anywhere you want. Alhamdulillah. Number three, أُحِلَّتْ لِي الْمَغَانِمُ وَلَمْ تَحُلْ لِأَحَدٍ قَبْلِي أو لَمْ تُحِلَّ لِأَحَدٍ قَبْلِي. The spoils of war are permissible for me, and they were not permissible for anybody before me. Meaning that the spoils of war, a person who is running away, say, after they've been defeated, their sword or their stuff can be taken and can become the property of the person who's fighting. And this was something that was not allowed for messengers in the past. Number four is U'titu shafa'a. I was given the intercession. What is intercession? It's a long word. But shafa'a, or the intercession, is someone, like the right to speak on behalf of somebody else. That's what it essentially is. Or the privilege to speak on behalf of somebody else. So the messenger says, I was given the privilege to speak on behalf of a group of people, of my nation. And the types of shafa'ah, the types of or the varying elements of this privilege of the Prophet ﷺ are various. On the Day of Judgment, he will be the one who will speak on behalf of all people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say, start the Day of Judgment, please. Right? Because before the start of the Day of Judgment, it is all chaos. People are running around, وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى. People are running around as if they're drunk, but they're not drunk. They're completely sane and conscious. But it's just, the situation is so chaotic that everybody is in a state of chaos. So that's one element of the Prophet's privilege. Then the other is that he has the privilege of speaking on behalf of a certain group of people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Said, these are special followers of mine, let them enter paradise. Of course, the special followers are chosen by Allah as well. That's something the Prophet can't choose anybody he likes. That group of followers is also something that Allah himself selects. It's a privilege for the Prophet, it's an honor for the person who's in that group. We ask Allah to give us that honor to be in the group that the Prophet ﷺ speaks on behalf of. And he's given the special privilege of speaking on behalf of the Muslims who are in the fire of hell, asking Allah to lessen their punishment and to bring them out. So these are very special privileges that only the Prophet ﷺ enjoys and nobody else enjoys them. And despite that, by the way, brothers and sisters, an interesting thing to think about, that despite he has all these special privileges, he still cannot speak on behalf of his uncle Abu Talib, who did not accept Islam. Right? So that is the precondition to everything. And had he, and then the Prophet said to him, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا قُلْ كَلِمَةً, say this word, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, I will then use this to argue on behalf of you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I can speak on your behalf to Allah that has given me this. And he didn't, unfortunately. So that was the fourth privilege, which is the shafa'ah. And lastly, وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ يُبْعَثُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ خَاصَّةً وَبُعِثُ إِلَى النَّاسِ كَافَّةً. And a person, a messenger, will be sent to specifically their own people, but I was sent to all of humanity. And this is beautiful because he is the last messenger. So he is sent to all people. Even though he doesn't speak the language of all people, because people have different languages. But the message is meant for all people. And this is the part which is really, really important to understand, that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the minute he got the opportunity, the minute he signs the Treaty of Hudaybiyah and they return back to Medina, what's the first thing that he does? After he's at peace with his main enemy, Quraysh, they're not attacking him now. What does he do now? First thing he does as soon as the Treaty of Hudaybiyah is signed, after reaching Medina, he sends letters. He writes letters to all the major kings of the world. And he sends them each a letter. And an ambassador, a sahabi, right? To speak, the letter speaks, and then the man is there as well. An example of what that guidance represents. The Prophet ﷺ did not waste a moment in that, because he knew his mission was for all people of all times. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So those are the five things. Of these five things is the idea of the earth being clean and pure. That's why it's included in this chapter. Okay. That being said, this is the Bab of Tayammum. Let's turn our attention quickly to some of the fiqh of it. Number one, what does Tayammum linguistically mean? I mentioned before, Tayammum means what? To intend, right? To intend something. In the Quran, it's used as such. When you're giving sadaqah, Allah says, وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنْهُ تُنْفِقُونَ وَلَسْتُمْ بِأَخِذِهِ إِلَّا أَن تُغْمِضُوا فِيهِ. Do not give charity from something that is so terrible that even if it was given to you, you wouldn't take it. Right? Meaning, don't give charity from junk. Right? Your junk is not charity. People drop off clothes in the clothes box, right? And it's junk. They don't want to wear it, you know? It's all like bad. That's not charity, brothers and sisters. Right? I was doing a coat drive. I was helping a masjid with a coat drive. And I was talking to them. And we said specifically, please bring new coats or lightly used coats. The kind that if someone gave to you, you would accept. That's the criteria. If you can't take it yourself, then don't give it to somebody who's in need. Just because they're in need doesn't make them so humiliated that you're going to give them junk. Right? It doesn't work that way. So the ayah, that ayah in the Quran uses the word, وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثَ. Don't intend garbage or bad things for somebody that you yourself won't take. So that's the linguistic meaning of it. Its linguistic origin comes to the word amma, which means to lead. Amma means to point or go to a direction. And all of these are interesting linguistic variations because, you know, imam comes from that, right? Amma ya ummu is to lead in salah. As an example, umma is a group of people that have the same direction. It's a very rich word, right? The word mother, from the same root letter. What does the mother have to do with all of this? Because as kids, where do we always turn to? Definitely not the father. The mother, right? So it's all of these are very interesting linguistic variations. I like this stuff, so I'm sharing with you. But linguistically, the word tayammum means to intend something. What is it in the Sharia? What is it in practicality? What does it mean? It is the taking of the dirt and rubbing it on your hands and rubbing it on your face. Okay? Now, there are conditions for tayammum that are extremely important. Okay? Like preconditions. Precondition number one is that you are... there is no water. Okay, there is no water, or you can't use water. Both of them are condition number one. You don't have water, or you can't use water. What could be the situation where you can't use water? Injury, sorry? Not pure is like basically not having water, correct? But you have water, but you can't use it. The answer is you're injured, you're hurt. Now, if I'm hurt on the back, that doesn't affect my wudu, right? I have to be hurt in a place that is affected by the washing, right? So imagine someone maybe has like severe burns on their arm or something. We ask Allah to protect us all, right? That definitely, at a certain point, you cannot wash that wound. It will get more infected, correct? Or the water is too cold, exactly. You can't use it because it will make you sick. It will make you sick, and then in any shape or form, like sick as in like you're bedridden, or even if it is life-threatening, either way, it's going to make you sick. Then that is condition number one. No water, which probably doesn't happen now, right? You can find water everywhere. Or you can't use the water because that area is affected, or just using the water because it's cold will adversely affect your health and make you sick. Okay, now brothers and sisters, you will not get sick when you make water or make wudu in the winter. You will not get sick. You'll be fine, inshallah. All right? Even if you have a cold, you'll be fine. Nothing will happen to you. So that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about, for example, in a road, it says, أَوْ خَافَ بِطَلَبِهِ ضَرَرَ بَدَنِهِ أَوْ رَفِيقِهِ أَوْ حُرْمَتِهِ أَوْ مَالِهِ. Right, so it gives us the situations where the difficulties could occur. Like if you are gonna hurt your body, or you're gonna hurt your friend. How could you hurt your friend? Well, perhaps you have to leave your friend to get water, and your friend gets, you know, like kidnapped or something. If you legitimately feel that, don't leave him. Make the effort. If you are afraid something's gonna happen to your family, same situation. Like they're laying out all the worst case scenarios here. That is when you don't need to use water, just use tayammum. But keep in mind, this is a worst case scenarios, very difficult situations. That's condition number one. Condition number two is that the time of Salah has entered, okay, or has started. So when you make wudu, you can make wudu anytime you want, yes or no, right? And the wudu will last you as long as you don't break it, correct? Yes or no? Tayammum has to be made when it's time for prayer. So if I don't have water, say I've already prayed Isha, and I don't have to pray anything, and I don't have water, or I'll get hurt using water, okay? I have no reason to make tayammum. I have no reason to make tayammum. If it is that I have to pray the prayer, then I have to do tayammum. Right? So the condition is dukhulul waqt. The time has to start for it. Why is this condition there? This condition is there because it is not actually a permanent solution. Tayammum is it's temporary, exactly. So you pray and you hope that next time the prayer comes, you have water. Then you can use it. That's the idea behind it. So those are the two main conditions or prerequisites rather for making tayammum, right? Let me finish the whole thing and then I think maybe the question might be answered as we're going. The prerequisites are those two. Then what is it that you make tayammum with? Clearly not water. Dirt. Okay? Now, what type of dirt? What dirt? What is dirt? Okay, let's take an example. I am in the airplane. Okay? You will not have dirt in the airplane. If you have dirt in the airplane, please do not fly that airplane again. That is a dangerous airplane. You're in the airplane, okay? And you don't have water for tayammum. You don't have water for making wudu. Okay? Let's make it more interesting. You are in the airplane and you sleep and you had a wet dream. Now you wake up, you're like, oh, I cannot take a shower in the bathroom of the airplane, right? That's realistic because the airplane doesn't run out of water. They have enough supply, right? You're like, I can't really take a shower in the washroom here. This is going to be an awkward situation. Huh? Brother Ibrahim flies business class. Sorry, brother, we don't know what that's all about. We fly economy, okay? The small washrooms. Barely any sink to make wudu, forget to take a shower, right? Unless you're flying, you know, business class like Ibrahim and the Emirates and mashallah, you have your own shower. No, joking about that. So, in the case you can't do it, then you make tayammum. Now, in the airplane, there's no dirt, correct? There is no dirt, there's no dust. So, in this example, you would make wudu with what they say is lahu ghubar. يَجِبُ التَّيَمُّ بِتُرَابٍ طَهُورٍ لَهُ غُبَارٍ. Either with dirt or dust, or something that is dusty, right? Like the wall necessarily, maybe not, right? Especially not on the airplane. But say the seat of the airplane, right? If you tap it or you pat it down, you will see that there's a little bit of dust that will come up, right? Because of it. Even if they vacuum it, it's going to be there, okay? And you can maybe check a few seats. That is what you use to make. So you pat that, and that thing that has ghubar, that little bit of dust, that is what is going to count as the dirt for the tayammum or the dust for the tayammum. Okay, in other situations, say like you're in this kind of situation, right, then the carpet is your best bet because the carpet will be dusty. The point is you want to use something that is dusty. That is one of the conditions made, that is the condition, I think, according to all of the four madhahib. Some people say it's not a condition, but the evidence is very strong because Allah says, فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. Specifically uses the word sa'id. Sa'id is dirt or dust. Specifically when he uses a word, it means that you need to use it. Okay, so if you have dirt, like you're outside and there's a little bit of like mud somewhere, that's fine. But in the case where you're not in that situation, something that is dusty is to be used. Alright? In the case where you have nothing dusty, like mashallah, you are flying in a space shuttle, okay, then you try your best. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. You try your best, and that's it. All right. If you fly on an air spacecraft, mashallah, good for you, brother. You made it in life. Last thing. So two things: the prerequisites, no water, or you can't use water. Time has entered. Okay. What you make it with is dirt or dust or something that is dusty. Okay. How you make it is very simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَتَيَمُّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَامْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ مِنْهُ. So you will tap the earth, or you will hit the earth once, and then if your hands become dusty, you can blow it off like that, because you don't want to put there's multiple narrations, right? Narration number one: you tap it and you can blow it off. يَنْفُخُهُمَا أَوْ يَنْفَضُحُهُمَا. Rub it as well. That was the narration from Bukhari and Muslim. Either way, rubbing or blowing it is to make sure that your face doesn't get dirty. Because like we see in the hadith of Umar ibn Yasir, the goal is not to get dusty. Then you take it and you you wipe your face where your wudu area is. Okay, that's below the hairline and entirely to your face. The scholars say, for example, that do not do it and in your nose and neither in your ears, which I think is obvious. And then you will rub your hands ila rasghaini, which is basically this bone right here. Okay, this is the, there's two ways actually. This is the way that we find in, say, the Hanbali madhab. Okay, and that's what the way we find in the Quran as well. The ayah describes rubbing, wiping the face and then rubbing the hands. The hadith of Sahih Bukhari that I read to you, the hadith of Umar ibn Yasir, actually starts with the hands first and then the face second. Okay? So both of those, inshallah, are acceptable. Right? Both of those are acceptable. The Hanbali madhab, for example, makes it that no, you have to do the face first and the hand second, but like we see in the hadith of Umar ibn Yasir, either way is fine. That is the tayammum, very simple. What breaks tayammum is what breaks wudu, right? What breaks tayammum is what breaks wudu, and you find water. If you have found water, no, you can't make tayammum anymore, you have to make wudu, right? Even if you find water in the middle of your prayer, even if you find water in the middle of the prayer, your prayer has to get stopped, you make wudu, and then you start your prayer again. Starts raining, yes, example of that. Last interesting point that I'll make and then we'll stop, is Imam Ahmad says something very interesting. I found this very cool. Imam Ahmad says that ويعتبر أيضا أن يكون مباحا فلا يصح بالتراب مغصوب. He says the dirt has to be mubah, it has to be acceptable, permissible. So it is not permissible to make tayammum from stolen dirt. It's amazing, right? Imam Ahmad believes that if you were to pray in a cloth that you have stolen, your prayer does not count, according to Imam Ahmad, right? And he has his evidence. Other scholars say prayer counts, but you're a sinner. Okay? But Imam Ahmad is very severe about this, because the religion is about morality as well. It's about makarim ul akhlaq. It's about perfection of good and morals and manners. And stealing is the exact opposite of that. It puts everything at risk. So even in these chapters where the scholars are discussing things like how do you make tayammum, how do you make wudu, they highlight that if you're, even the dirt that you're using is stolen, your tayammum does not count. Which is so readily available. But even that, if you stole it, doesn't count. To show you how important these things were, this justice was as part of the religion, And unfortunately, how it is, you know, so easy to violate that today, particularly in the Muslim countries. So with that, we will conclude. Question. Oh no, so it does not mean that you're not stealing the dust from there and you have bought the ticket, right? So you are sitting on the seat. It is your right to sit on that seat. It's your right to, if you want to start patting the seat, you can do that as well, unless it causes a turbulence. But the point is that if the example that he's giving, it's not that, I don't think it's actually possible to steal dirt or something to make tayammum from, right? Because there's so much available for free. Stolen land, but it's a point that Imam Ahmad always makes when he's talking about something. Yeah. Yes. That would, so it's not the same as stealing, right? Going, so stealing is something else. Stealing is like, I have taken over your house, you know, you can't come in or something, right? That, but you being in someone's house, you using the restroom, you know, it's understood and acceptable, right? These are normal things. There's nothing abnormal about it, right? So it's out of, just like when you go to the washroom, you say, can I please go to the washroom? Or where is the washroom in anybody's house? Same thing. It's like, oh, I have to make the tayammum. Can I use the wall or can I use the cushion or something? Hopefully you don't, because they have water in their house. But that's not what he's intending, Imam Ahmad. The point is that he always specifies this because he wants to show how important it is to have ethics, to be truthful, to not be a cheater, to not be a thief, to not be a corrupt person. Because all these people practice Islam, right? They would have their beards and they're praying and then they're stealing. Imam Ahmad, especially in the time of Imam Ahmad, this was a lot, right? The Khalifa was a crook. Right, so Imam Ahmad's very harsh and very particular about this, and I find it very fascinating because a lot of the Muslim countries, you're like, yeah, it's still the same, right? Still the same situation as back in that time. That was the point of sharing that. Wallahu a'lam. Other questions, Faisal? You have something or you forgot it? Oh no. Oh yes. 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 Correct. So there is quite a bit of detail about what does it mean to not find water, right? Like there's about like a couple of pages of discussion of what it means. Generally, it means that you can try your best, and after that, you have no water. That's what it means, okay? Or taking water with you for wudu is going to be very difficult. So they give the example of someone is going for, chopping wood, and they can't take the water for wudu with them because they can only take enough water for drinking, and then they have to bring the wood back, right? So in that case, they say it's okay, you don't have to take water. But so in this is the detailed part of the fiqh where they go into like specific situations. When can you do it? When can you not do it? What happens if you forgot, right, that you had a place where there was water but you can't find that place right now? You just, you know, you're lost. So all those circumstances are very detailed. Generally, the main, the thread that unites all of them is you've tried your best and you still cannot find water. So you have exhausted every possibility. Say you're in an apartment building, okay, and there's no water in the apartment building, okay? Now, is it possible for you to leave the apartment building and go to a store? If that is possible, then you do that. That's also an element that if, how much time you have left, if you have 5 minutes, and it'll take you 5 minutes to get to the store, forget about wudu and prayer, then you make tayammum and you pray. If you have time, then you can go and get it. For example, if it's a sister, she has kids at home, okay? And the husband is out of the house, and there is no water in the apartment, okay? And there is no neighbor who has any water. Assume they all hate her or something. No one's gonna give her anything. Now she probably cannot leave her kids in the house by themselves to go get water. So that's the situation. So it is to the most possible legitimate extent a person can do. And after that, the qiyam was made, and inshallah there is no harm in that. Wallah. Yes, person. You make tayammum again. Again, yes, yes. So you made tayammum for dhuhr, and you're in a miskeen situation where there's no water. You're like, subhanAllah. Then it's time for asr, you make tayammum again. Right? Every single time, for every single prayer, you have to make tayammum again and again. Jazakumullah khair. Thank you very much everybody, for sticking around. It was very good. Inshallah, next week we'll talk about something that only deals with women, but also men. Hayd. Yes. Snow is water. Snow is water. It takes some, wait a little bit. There we go. There we go. All right. Jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallah. Alhamdulillah. Wa ilaha illa anta. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.